Wednesday, May 4th, 2022. Welcome to Big Screens and TV Streams live from the Grand Forks Best Source Studios. For those watching live, please interact with us by calling or texting in your questions or comments at 701-213-0863 or contribute comments and questions in the live chat by tuning in live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on gfbestsource.com. I'm Dale Coolis. Joining me today is Paul. Welcome.
Yo.
And producer Katie will be joining us momentarily. Paul, Katie, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I have to say it because of today's date. May the 4th
get out of
be
here.
With you. Blarg, blarg, blarg. I saw a little bit of Star Wars today on TV. Like Return of the Jedi was on TV. I saw it in passing. I watched like 5 minutes of it. So I was like, oh, man. Gosh, yeah. When was the last time you saw one of the first three Star Wars movies? Just even a little bit of it.
The first ones? Oh, it's been a while. I kind of binged watched, you know, all of them probably 6-7 months back, but even the oldest ones, I had a hard time watching them.
Yeah, I know that whenever I hear the Star Wars movies, one of the first things that comes to mind is a cantina theme song. That's always a fan favorite. And, you know, just like the cantina, you can find your favorite beverages at the Southtown Poorhouse where I don't know if it'll be as great as day at the cantina in Star Wars, but for today, every day, it's a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse. Stop in for your favorite drinks and, of course, happy hour with half off apps and taps every day from 4 to 6 p.m. And you can't forget about their Buck Burgers on Tuesdays and the awesome steak specials on Thursdays at 6. Make sure to check out the Southtown Poorhouse events page to find out when your favorite band is playing live. For this weekend, on Friday, they have October Road. And on Saturday night, they have DJ and the Atomica. So every day is a great day at the Southtown Poorhouse, where you won't have to worry about who will shoot first. They were located at 2015 Library Circle next to the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Saturday from 4 p.m. to 2 a.m. And they're now hiring with great pay, flexible hours, part-time or full-time employee discounts, and free cover on band nights.
Yeah, go there tomorrow. Get yourself a margarita for Cinco de Mayo.
Oh, yes. That is another big, big theme day coming up. And yeah, it's all about the days and the months this year. And I know in March, we got the Star Wars Day today, and of course, Cinco de Mayo tomorrow. Last couple of years, they had in March, they established March 10th as. Are you familiar with what that would spell, Katie, if you put March 10th together, abbreviate it a little bit, and just look at it at a glance, March 10th?
Oof. March, no, I don't on the top of my head.
Mario. So, like, the last few years, Nintendo has been making March 10th Mario Day. They'll do, like, sales for Mario games and stuff like that, like free downloads on their websites, things like that. So all the brands, all the places are catching up on it. So one that did not catch up on it, though, is the first movie we'll be talking about, we'll be reviewing today. And I think we're going to try out a new thing here, see how it goes, right, Katie?
Yeah, we'll test this out.
Yeah, so we're testing out. We're actually going to be playing an abbreviated trailer, so you can get an idea for this movie we'll be reviewing, Ambulance. It hit theaters a few weeks ago. New Michael Bay-directed movie, pretty much where two robbers steal an ambulance where after a heist goes awry. So here's the trailer.
I came to you for a loan.
You're my brother. Have I ever gotten you anything that I couldn't get you out of?
Lock everything down.
So yeah, you can see here, we've been used to seeing Michael Bay movies the last several these days. It's been mostly Transformers movies Michael Bay has been doing the last decade or so. He has done a couple others. Pain and Gain. That was a very interesting crime drama, some action, but a big epic story. This, as you can see from the trailer, it's more like a return to form. So, if you remember Michael Bay movies from, like, 90s and the 2000s, Con Air, The Rock, The Island, maybe. But, yeah, this is a return to just good old-fashioned Michael Bay thriller action, chases, heists. This is a good old-fashioned chase movie. So, yeah. Yeah, and you can see from the actors here, we got Jake Gyllenhaal, and I'm not sure how to pronounce this other actor's name. His brother, Danny and Will Sharp. Jake Gyllenhaal is Danny, and then this is Yahya Abdul-Mateen II as Will Sharp. They're brothers, and you can see from here, they are leading a heist. there's a bunch of other heist colleagues, but Jake Gyllenhaal isn't the best at recruiting a heist crew. They meet their comeuppance very early on. They're very, very ineffective. And like one of the heist guys, one of the crew, as they put it, they wear flip-flops. Another guy Jake Gyllenhaal refers to as Mel Gibson from Braveheart. He calls him Braveheart, and you're like, oh, these guys aren't going to last. So eventually, the heist goes wrong, as you can see in the trailer. They pretty much command, they manage to grab the cash, Jake Gyllenhaal, or the Sharp brothers. They command an ambulance, and they're just on the run from the cops for about a good hour and a half. And, so, I don't know, from that trailer, did that kind of... Less vibes of Transformers, more vibes of more your traditional Michael Bay films, Con Air, The Rock, stuff like that.
So, yeah, I mean, I could see The Rock, you know, coming out in that. But again, I mean, as soon as you said Michael Bay, and it didn't occur to me at first that that was Transformers. Then I was like, oh, wait, Michael Bay, that's a Transformers guy. And then I saw a lot of the similar action scenes of Transformers. It's kind of like he's got his style. He doesn't really seem to know how to do any other style, though.
Yeah, the very deliberate slow motion crashes effects, like the way the scenery smashes up and explodes. Yeah, and
all the camera panoraming and the lights that appear in there and everything.
Sun flares, another one of his trademarks.
Yeah. So it still looks good. I mean, it did look a lot like The Rock.
Yeah,
I would say that.
Yeah, and these are the Michael Bay movies. They are fun to see in the theaters. At least when talking about going back to the Con Air, The Rock, those ones is iconic staples there. And even the Transformers movies, even though I was not that much of a fan of them, the first one I kind of liked, but each one kind of got to be more and more of a chore to get through. But his movies are designed to be seen in theaters or big elaborate home theater setups with the. Awesome surround sound and the big screen.
Transformers pissed me off.
No, I am with you. Each and every Transformer movies, this got louder.
Not only did the movies just, I mean, you know, the jokes were terrible. There were so many things that I could say that were bad about them. But the thing that drove me nuts about them right from the very first one was the way that they transformed.
Mm.
I'm like... You can literally take a toy and have it turn into a robot with like four moving parts. So why is all this, you know, things going on in that movie? Why didn't Optimus just have his arms come out, roll up, and do it just like the toys did?
The toys and the 80s cartoon. Yeah, there's a lot of deep dive backstory if you look into that where... Like, they even had to fight to get the original voice cast from the cartoons on there. That almost didn't happen. And a lot of the Hollywood versus getting stuff. And they had to fight to get stuff in that was representative of the brand.
Yeah. It literally had nothing to do with Transformers. They just basically just stole the name.
Yeah.
So I was just very disappointed in that movie.
We'll have to do a Transformers special one day. No.
No, we don't.
No, that was a joke. That was a joke.
Yes, do it.
Yeah, Katie's a fan of Transformers movies?
No, I'm not.
No, yeah.
It'd be funny just to make you mad.
Oh. Suffer, yes.
Well, then they got Optimus, and he's, you know, he's got flames on him, and he's one of the newer rigs. Like, why didn't they should have had him just be the original red flat nose semi from the, you know, just...
Well, hopefully his days with the Transformers movies are behind him. He did five of them, so I think he got them out of his system, or directed five anyways, and I think he helped, like, produce Bumblebee, but he did direct Six Underground before this. Did you see that one? It was a Netflix original action movie, Heist, Chase, Robbery.
Yeah, I think I did see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and but this is
that one was with Ryan Reynolds, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
And but this is his return to the theater action movies because that Six Underground was a Netflix exclusive, and so as you saw from the trailer, the brothers there, Will, he's an ex-Marine and he's hard up for money because his insurance won't cover experimental surgery, and he just happens to pick the wrong day to ask his criminal brother that he's on a very shaky relationship with for help. For he's like, oh, if you need a hand, because he knows he has this legacy. They explain it in the movies of doing like just all these, just being a crime background, a long time robber. But so he was just going to go there. So if you need some help with like a small job, or I just need some cash. He's like, oh, good, I'm about to go on this big elaborate heist for $16 million. You could be the driver. So just picks a wrong day to go in. And of course, and you saw in the trailer, the heist goes wrong. They take they take a cop hostage. They shoot him. They take him hostage. And they later take the ambulance hostage, which the cop happens to be in. And so yeah, I'd say like a good 70% of this movie takes place in the ambulance. And that poor cop, he goes through the ringer through the film, and then like we got that EMT in there with him as well. That's being played by I got the name right here, Isa Gonzalez as Cam, and she is tremendous in the role. Just kind of like, you know, she's like kind of like playing the kind of like she's like serving as the audience here. You know, should. No, why am I with these guys? You know, I should try and stop them. But meanwhile, I got to save this cop's life. And the cops, because they got the cop hostage, it's pretty much keeping the cops on their tail and not trying to, like, do, like, you know, the standard cop chase, like, you know, ram them to the side of the road. It's kind of like the, you know, why you can't help but think, you know, why don't the cops just try and lay a spike strip or something like that, or just do something? But, you know, they got a cop on life support pretty much here. So that's why this chase is lasting as long as it is. This big cat and mouse chase is really exhilarating. You can see from the trailers, like, lots of explosions, lots of stuff. And they kind of give a little bit of a backstory where the brother, Danny, he's like, he's a little bit of a history being a pro driver, just, you know, and with his Marine background, just like really being the master behind the wheel for getting every unbelievable amount of speed and street moves with the ambulance to outmaneuver the cops. There's a lot of, you know, with a lot of Michael Bay movies, you know, maybe you probably relate to this, Paul, with Con Air, The Rock, what have you. There's plenty of yeah right moments with like, no, this can't happen, like with like the way they smash into so many concrete barriers that are conveniently placed to get, you know, take out certain police vehicles. And just, yeah, lots of bobs and weaves fighting the authority figures off. And you know, the cops are trying to be on their tail, trying to stay one step ahead of them. Eventually they try and lay some traps, but, you know, they're outmaneuvering them. And it's just really fun to keep up with. This is one thing I couldn't help but cross my mind seeing this movie. I'm kind of wondering what you guys think of it too. But Michael Bay, I always think of him as being an artist of making everything out of nothing. Like, you can see, like, there's not a, even though this is R-rated, there's not like a lot of like over-the-top gratuitous violence, not a lot of deaths. There's a little bit of it here and there, and towards the end there's a couple of scenes, but through a good chunk of like the first like 70-80% of the movie, there's only like, the action is to keep the thrill factor going. As you know, the ambulance chase, there's a lot of, and you saw a little bit in the trailers, there are so many carts of produce that get demolished. And of course, you know, like you were saying, Paul, earlier, they're like, the camera's placed just right, and it is captured just right, the way the color and the filming and the lighting is just right, where, you know, even though it's just an ambulance hitting like a poor innocent produce stand, it explodes at like max, just yeah, where you can't help but get a little bit of that theatrical endorphin rush out of it.
Yep.
And there's, yeah, I want to say the amount of produce demolished shots in here is probably in the double digits. They just happen to be all over the place, and along with the concrete barriers, just to keep that, the adrenaline's going. And yeah, it all culminates in an insane final act without getting anything away. And I'll give a word to the wise. If you're squeamish, this will definitely test your squeamish factor, because there's a couple of parts where I was like, they're not going to go this far. And then sure enough, I'm like, no, they are going this far. And I'm like, they're teasing something really bad's going to happen. They did go there. How did this just get an R rating? Because there's parts of me thinking this wouldn't have get cleared for theaters with an R rating, that, you know, they've got the kill switch, the NC-17 rating. And
really?
Yeah, there are some very, very... I caught it at a weird early matinee showing earlier this week. So like I had the theater to myself. So I was, but parts of me couldn't wonder where, man, I wonder how the theater would be reacting. Part of me is thinking there might be some people running to the bathroom at a couple of parts. So word to the wise on this one. So how do you guys handle your squeamish for movies?
Oh, I'm just fine. My question is, so is this movie Ambulance, or as my in-laws would call it, Ambulance?
Oh gosh, there's a lot of the cast.
Ambulance. Lance.
Ambulance.
I've heard so many fun goofs at pronouncing that word over the years, and they're a lot of the cast pronounces it, enunciates it many different ways throughout the film. I'm like, okay, this person's saying, I heard ambulance.
It's an A, not an E, ambulance.
Yes, yes.
But ambulance.
Ambulance is ambulance. There's a U too. Ambulance.
But, you know, depending on the part of the country, it's pronounced differently everywhere.
Oh, yeah, so, that's right.
Mm-hmm. At least in Michael Bay terminology anyways. But, yeah.
If a Boston person were to say it.
Yeah. You got to rock that Boston accent,
yeah,
Katie.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Khakis.
Oh, that's the wrong drum roll.
He forgot his khakis in the ambulance.
Hock the car out the garage or something.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
The guy from Boston on our tennis team, and he just talks. It just pisses me off.
Jake Gyllenhaal does some fun Boston accents in some movies. He's in Manchester at the Sea and Stronger. He does some. He makes sure to work. He has his background in Boston accents, but not for this one. Jake Gyllenhaal is awesome in this. His character is so just. Kind of like how we were talking on last week with Nicolas Cage going in full-on Cage mode, but it's not as over the top. He comes off very believable being just a criminal madman, just doing anything to get the job done. But yeah, really good final act. And like the way the final act plays out too, you're like, how are they going to wrap this up? But they find a nice way to wrap it up because they kind of make it, you know, kind of like Con Air, you know, it's like, do you want to root for the bad guys? No, you don't want to root for their bad guys.
So I can already tell you I'm going to give this a 50% approval because every single Michael Bay movie I've ever seen, I'm like, okay, 50% like it, 50% hate it. He just never scores 100 with me because he just can't get out of his
comfort zone.
His mindset of just like everything is the same. I mean, I can go down the list. So The Rock, Armageddon, Con Air, you know, all of those. They're all the same movie. They're good, and they suck at the same time.
Yeah, I like to say, like, they're fun to see once at the theater, maybe one more time line.
That's a good way to put it. Like, he's one of those ones I'll watch the movie, I'll enjoy it, but I would never watch it again.
Right, yeah. And that's how I describe this. Definitely see it once, ideally in a good theater or home theater setup. The Rotten Tomatoes aggregates for it so far is it's doing pretty good. Critics, 69% aggregate, 69% of critics approve it. Audience is a bit better, 88% of audience approval. So, but yeah, I give it a recommend to see once, but yeah. But I definitely have missed this version of Michael Bay, a big step up from the Transformers stuff. So glad to see him kind of getting back to his roots for better and worse. So a friendly reminder for those watching live, please interact with us by calling or texting in your questions or comments at 701-213-0863 or contribute comments and questions in the live chat by tuning in live every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on gfbestsource.com. Hey, everyone in the chat, what's your favorite Michael Bay movies or ones that have just irked you the wrong way over the years? We want to hear about them. We'll interact with you on the air here. So just to kind of quickly go over some of the big noteworthy releases for this week, we got hitting streaming via Netflix, Grace and Frankie, Season 7, Part 2, the finale for this longtime Netflix series, which is all about a relationship whirlpool of relationship drama. That was one that I saw on my rundown list there. I was not familiar with it, though. Undone Season 2 is hitting Amazon Prime Video streaming this week. And it's the second season of an animated series with voices by Rosa Salazar, Angelique Cabral, Constance Marie, and Bob Odenkirk, our favorite actor from Nobody and the Breaking Bad series. This dramedy centers on Alma, a woman who, after a brush with death in a car accident, discovers new abilities to time travel and find out the truth behind her death. Crush is a movie streaming on Hulu that hits this week, and it stars Paige, played by Rowan Blanchard, an aspiring young artist who decides to join her high school's track team, a choice that ends up changing her life in more ways than one, and it also stars Megan Mullally and Michelle Buteau. And this is the one we're really psyched for this week. I think it goes without saying this should be our pick of the week. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness hitting theaters this Friday or the early Thursday showing. I know our local theater is showing it pretty much all day on Thursday. And it's pretty much a journey into the unknown with Doctor Strange, who, with the help of mystical allies, both old and new, traverses the mind-bending and dangerous alternate realities of the multiverse to confront a mysterious new adversary. And it's And of course, Benedict Cumberbatch is returning as Doctor Strange and also starring Elizabeth Olsen, Benedict Wong, and directed by none other than Sam Raimi, directing his first comic book movie since... Katie, I don't know, did you see the original two Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire from the early 2000s?
I know I saw one of them. I don't know which one's which.
Yeah, but yeah, he directed those two. And or actually directed the first three Spider-Man movies, but the first two Spider-Man movies are very well critically acclaimed and kind of helped kick with the X-Men movies, helped kick off the comic book movie boom. So this is, yeah, Sam Raimi making his return to comic book movie directing. So I'm really psyched for it. I know we're talking before the show, Paul. You are just as hyped as well.
Yeah, except I didn't know that it was being directed by Sam Raimi. I thought it was going to be Favre.
Favre. Oh, yeah, John Favre. Because
he's the one that did all the Iron Mans and everything, and all the other Marvel movies, right?
He did the first two...
He did Avengers, right?
No, John Favreau, he directed the first two Iron Man movies, and then I think he helped produce other ones. He may have returned for one other one. I think he did Ant-Man, one of the last Ant-Man movies, I want to say.
Who did the Avengers?
The Avengers were... The first two Avengers were Joss Whedon, and then the Avengers 3 and 4, they were done by the Russo brothers that did the first two Captain America movies.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't... now I got mixed feelings about this. I'm sure it's going to be good. I'm wondering if it... You know, I saw, like, the animated version, kind of seeing, like, the evil Doctor Strange versus the normal Doctor Strange. So I think this movie is going to be really, really cool. I'm really excited for it. If anybody from the Rivers Cinema is watching right now, we still need to hear if we can come over there and do a remote for it.
Absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, Doctor Strange, I never really followed him in the comics. I didn't really know too much about him, but after watching the other movies, I mean, he's almost like one of the most powerful characters of all of them. I'm really excited for this movie. I think it's going to be really good.
Yeah, I'm super incredibly excited for it. I really like how he's been portrayed in the movies. I've been familiar with him a little bit in the comics over the years. He's had some solo series over the years, but he's kind of like their safety net where if the writers for a comic book major events, if something goes wrong, if it's not received well, usually Doctor Strange would come in there, cast a spell, and reset it and be like, all right, this last year or two of story arcs that the fans hated, never happened. Yeah. And it's kind of how he's being portrayed in the movies, but not that dramatic. But like you said, he's definitely being portrayed as one of the most powerful characters in the MCU. So... And now that Sam Raimi, he's directing this now under the guidance of the MCU umbrella instead of the Sony Pictures brand. So usually they're a bit more hands-on and better consultants anyway. So I have good faith that this should deliver.
Yeah, and I saw some of the trailers for it, and it looks like it's going to be going right along with that kind of animated version. Yeah, I mean there's all kinds of cool things that he does. And my understanding is that, he's going to have to go against this evil Doctor Strange who used a bunch of spells to make himself as powerful as possible, taking, like, stuff from alternate universes and somehow gaining their power. I don't know. We'll just have to see what happens.
Yep. Definitely, possibly stay tuned for maybe bonus live coverage this weekend, maybe. We'll see. It's up in the air. But definitely, either next week or week after, we'll be doing a pretty thorough review of it.
Yep.
So we'll keep moving things along here. Paul, I know you said you saw this one. This is, we kind of I referenced earlier Jake Gyllenhaal being in a boxing movie with his Boston accent in Southpaw. But this is a different boxing movie from a couple of years ago, Jungle Land, and it's two brothers who try to escape their circumstances by traveling across the country for an no-holds-barred boxing match that becomes a fight for their lives.
Oh, yeah, I just watched this the other... Oh, wait, no, did I watch it? Yeah, I just watched this the other day. It was terrible.
Yes.
This movie sucked.
Not a fan.
Oh, God, I was mad.
Gets a booze. Gets a booze.
Yeah, I completely forgot about it because I was going to mention it to you that I watched this. And yeah, it was awful.
Yeah, I kind of got in here. I watched a couple of clips in here just to kind of get a feel for it. Of course, they have brothers that are a little hard up on their luck here, and they're trying to kind of change things around by taking, am I getting this right? They're kind of just trying to find odd jobs and underground fights, but then they get a second chance by competing in a high stakes $400,000 tournament.
Yeah, it's bad. They got I think some like prostitute that's with him, and he's like trying. There's this kind of like love affair going on. Then his brother, that's like his trainer. You know, he was in Pacific Rim and Sons of Anarchy.
You got Jack O'Connell and Charlie Hunnam are the two main brothers here.
Yeah, the last three or four movies I've seen him in have just, they've all just flopped.
Oh, really?
As far as I was concerned. So, but yeah, I mean, it was just boring.
They're trying to build up to the big tournament here, trying to kind of like, maybe like a Warrior, where they're leading up to that big two-night tournament, but not really.
No, so what happened is, so his little brother was like a Golden Glove boxer. He could have gone kind of big time. But his older brother, who's his trainer, cheated in some way, shape, or form. I can't remember exactly what. So his little brother got kicked out of the boxing career type of deal. So he becomes a bare-knuckle boxer in alleys and that kind of stuff. And then they get tied up with some type of drug dealer, criminal guy, and they owe him some money because he screwed something else up. And so he keeps like pimping his little brother out to these boxing matches to try to repay this debt. And yeah, and then they're going to go to this, you know, big tournament or whatever, but they end up having this like prostitute chick that they're supposed to bring with them. And it just has this weird side story to it. But yeah, it was just,
didn't do it for you.
It was just dumb.
Yeah, I kind of got on here. I watched a couple of clips of some of the fights in the movie. There was like a 2-on-1 parking lot fight for a car, and that seemed all right. But I just checked out just a couple of random fights. Were the fights at least fun to watch?
No,
no, not really. Yep. But no,
this one's a hard pass.
Hard pass.
Yeah,
sounds good. Yeah, I saw them. It was kind of got middling aggregate scores. Nothing too kind of like in the 40s there, but. Now, one thing we will not give in the 40s and hard pass, we'll give a high recommendation to is our friends at Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall, where there's nothing better than treating yourself to some good homemade baked goods. Yesterday I had one of their awesome gummy worm dirt pudding cupcakes, and yeah, definitely high recommendation on that one. So yeah, that's where Oh for Heaven's Cakes come in, because they got the best cupcakes and they're great for special occasions or just a treat like I had yesterday. And, you know, special occasions, they got graduation. It's May, so graduation, open houses, they're the place you want to call to get those early pre-orders in for your graduation cakes. So they make incredible specialty items by order, or just walk on in to find out more. While you're there, enjoy homemade lunch and soup with keto, gluten-free, vegan, and diabetic options. And if you're a business owner and you just want to treat your employees for a special day of treats, check out their monthly employee discounts. Oh for Heaven's Cakes is on the north back side of the Grand Cities Mall, open Tuesday through Friday from 10 to 4, and on Saturdays from 9 to noon. If you want to call them up, get those pre-orders for your graduation cakes in, 701-757-CAKE. That's 701-757-2253, or go to oforheavenscakes@yahoo.com for email inquiries. Be a beautiful cupcake in a world full of muffins. Oh for Heaven's Cakes in the Grand Cities Mall. So that is bringing us up to our final main review of the day here. Before we get to that review, I do got just a couple of quick news items here to go over here. I know we're going to be, our last review is going to be for a big Netflix show, but one news item that hit is that Netflix picked up an 8-episode series from the creators of Cobra Kai that TBS was originally going to back, but they pulled out of it, and it's a show called Obliterated. I don't know if you're familiar with this one, Paul, but the synopsis for it is a high-octane action comedy that tells the story of an elite special forces team who thwarts a deadly threat to Las Vegas. After their celebratory party filled with booze, drugs, and sex, the team discovers that the bomb they deactivated was a fake. The now intoxicated team has to fight their way through their impairments and overcome their personal issues to find the real bomb and save the world in a not-so-desired state. So that has the potential to be cool, coming from the creators of Cobra Kai.
Yeah, I at first it sounded really dumb until you told me that now they're all shit-faced, and I got to try to figure this out. Now it's being pretty funny.
Guys, we can do this! Cut the wire! Which wire? All of them! Get your MacGruber. You don't MacGruber? No, you don't know MacGruber.
I haven't seen that forever.
Oh gosh, yeah, yeah. But yeah, that has potential to be cool. I trust the creators on this one. So yeah, look for that on Netflix in a year or so. The other news item here is that this is kind of cool. I don't know, were you guys a fan of that 70s show, the sitcom from, oh, I guess I got about a dozen or so years ago?
Heard of it.
Yeah.
I watched it like from the first seasons and stuff, and then I just kind of lost interest.
I watched a few seasons off and on during this run. I enjoyed it, and it's one of those ones, you know, if you just happen to come across it on cable or streaming, you may watch an episode or two. But Netflix got five of the cast members. They got Topher Grace, Mila Kunis, Ashton Kutcher, Laura Prepon, and Wilmer Valderrama. They'll be making guest appearances in the sequel series, That 90s Show on Netflix. It's kind of like Fuller House, where they're focusing on a new generation of kids while the original actors will be coming on to make cameos or small appearances. So, the only one who's not returning is Danny Masterson Hyde, who was kind of ordered to stand trial on three counts of rape. So, yeah, he won't be involved.
Who? Yeah. Well, which one was that?
He had the big curly hair, super big stoner in That 70s
really?
Show. Yep. Mm-hmm. Katie, is this ringing a bell for you?
I think the Mohawk or whatever.
Yeah, but for what it's worth, Danny Masterson is proclaiming his innocence. But yeah, he's in the middle of a big court trial for all that, so he won't be involved in this new show. But yeah, it's set in 95, revolves around Leia Forman, the daughter of Eric and Donna, and she visits her grandparents for the summer. Of course, yeah, the parents from That 70s Show, they're returning also. Okay. Kurt Ward Smith and Deborah Jo Rope. They're back to portray Red and Kitty. And so you meet a whole new generation of kids. And the original cast will be there to make their little appearances here and there. And yeah, so has the potential to be cool. Of course, it's called That 90s Show, not That 80s Show, because there was a That 80s Show on Fox. It only lasted, I think, for like 10 episodes. I don't know if you remember that one.
Nope.
Yep. Nope. Best left in the past. So yeah, look for That 90s Show on Netflix in a year or so. So yeah. And the last thing I got is CW canceled the Legends of Tomorrow show after 7 seasons, joining Batwoman for the other CW DC show not returning this fall. The only DC shows slated for this fall on CW are the final season of Flash and Superman and Lois. And, you know, CW is rumored to being sold from the new merger company of Warner Brothers Discovery. So CW's future may be in limbo along with these shows. Were you a fan of the CW DC shows? I watched them for a few years.
They could have done better.
Yeah.
I've never been a huge fan of DC, but yeah.
I loved Arrow. I stuck with that in the first few seasons of The Flash and even the first couple seasons of Legends of Tomorrow. But then you kind of just got to watch all the shows follow the same formula season after season with a little bit of a difference. But yeah, once Arrow ended, I just quit cold turkey on them all.
I saw a post that I thought it was pretty funny that pretty much sums up all the DC movies. Is that I don't like watching DC movies because they're too dark.
Mm.
He's like, No, not like dark, like mentally wise, like dark, like I can't see them.
Oh, I gotcha. Yeah.
They're all like the cameras are like turned down to like, whoa.
Yeah.
You can't see what the hell is going on.
They do definitely have, that's one of their trademarks. Maybe not all of them, but a good chunk of them are, they definitely have that darker tone, both in both aspects, actually. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm usually a fan of them, but I think at one point CW had, like, I think 5 DC shows going on. It just got to be too much. Mm-hmm. So, but
can't stop yawning.
But maybe this next review won't keep your yawns going, Katie, because this is Paul's long-awaited coverage here. I will give a quick heads up. He's going to be talking about the part 2 of the final batch of episodes that dropped for season 4 of Ozark, their last set of episodes. The show is closing. I'll refer you to our previous Big Screens episode on January 26th called Stabbed in the Ozarks for Paul's review of part 1 of season 4. And so part 2, it's, if you're unfamiliar with the show, it's a financial advisor drags his family from Chicago to the Missouri Ozarks where he must launder money to appease a drug boss. And it's definitively done now, right, Paul?
Yeah, I believe so. I mean, the ending kind of sucked.
Did you end up binging through this pretty quick then?
I was up until 3 in the morning trying to finish this stupid thing because people were on Facebook trying to ruin it for me, which then I come to find out that they're all just lying anyway. But
boo.
So ha ha, yeah, you guys are so funny. But now this last season, it was good. You know, there was a lot of things in there that I thought were a little bit ridiculous. I was not a fan of the ending. I really didn't get it. And I don't know. Am I doing any spoilers here?
We could keep it general for maybe the first minute or two here, and then we'll give a spoiler warning here in case maybe just some general thoughts. Like, I was kind of doing a little bit of research. I looked up a couple of scenes here. It kind of looked up like they're leading up. A lot of twists leading up to a big vote for this final batch of episodes. That's kind of what I gathered. I don't know if that's ringing a bell or not there from what you saw.
A big vote?
Yeah, like a big vote.
Well, they got so they're working with that the Mexican drug cartel boss that they got thrown in prison by trying to work with the FBI with him, and then the FBI double-crossed him. Threw him in jail, then his nephew kind of takes things over. Nephew ends up getting offed. And then his mom wants revenge, and now it's a battle between the drug pin that's in jail and his sister who's in Mexico. And yeah, I don't want to ruin it for anybody. I mean, it was a good story, but again, the ending, it almost seemed like the ending was still set up for another season.
Like, it felt like they had to leave a little cliffhanger in case they decided to do a spinoff show or come back maybe several years later.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
All right. So, if we do, let's say for people still keeping up with the show, let's just do 1 minute of spoilers here. So people listening, jump ahead 1 minute starting now. Watching past video recaps of past seasons remind me with some other shows where they're constantly changing the cast, writing off characters. A lot of characters are getting killed off. Did this last batch of episodes, a lot of characters meet their demise or catch you off guard?
Well, so somebody posted that everyone dies, which that's not true. I was really upset that his wife didn't get killed because I couldn't stand her. And yeah, I mean, they pretty much just end up winning, except for the chick Ruth that was working with him. She's the one that killed the nephew, and the mom that wants revenge finds out that it's her, and so they off her at the end. And I'm thinking probably because she's one of the only ones that maybe has a career in the future here, because now she put out that one movie about the that true story about the girl that ripped off all those rich people. So she, I think her acting career is starting to maybe pick up. So they probably don't see her in future episodes of this, but yeah. And then you got the kids are the kids are growing up. They all kind of understand everything that's going on in the business. Now they're apparently unstoppable because they have every politician in their pocket that they need and all this stuff. So it's almost like it ended like they're untouchable. They won the game. They are finally free of having to worry about being killed by the cartel or anything. And
it just sounds like they didn't quite stick the landing on portraying it on screen.
Yeah, everybody thought they were going to die, and it just sounds like they just ended up winning.
Weird. Yeah. Yeah, who knows? Maybe they'll do a future episode here to wrap it all up. So, final verdict, favorite overall character and just moment from the show and series from its run. What would you say? You got a certain character seen from the series, all four seasons, that really, really stuck with you all these seasons?
Oh, well, Jason Bateman. I mean, it's the only reason to even watch the show. The rest of them just kind of piss you off.
Oh, no.
At least for me, anyway.
Yep. So, gotcha. Cool. So, yeah.
Especially his wife. God, I was really looking forward to her dying.
Oh, no. So maybe you had to stick around after the credits.
Well, because the last season, the other two people that I couldn't stand at all, they got, shot in the head on the very last episode. And I was like, yes, finally, don't have to watch them anymore. But
no just desserts for her.
No.
Well, that is the Ozarks. It's streaming. The new last set of episodes are now on Netflix. So the next show we're going to be talking about here is Halo. That's and they just had their latest episode a few days ago. 6 episodes into the 9 episode season, and the major thing going on with this episode is that John, he kind of emerges from where Cortana forced him to pass out, where it looked like John was going to attack Halsey, because he's finding out that Halsey's been lying to him all these years about his origin and all that.
We talked about this on the last show.
Well, this kind of takes it to a whole new level where, like, John really, he touches the artifact again one more time, gets the full reveal of his, goes through the big seizures one more time, finds out his complete origin story where, like, you know, he gets, replaced with getting kidnapped as a child and kind of forced into this whole UNSC Spartan training program. And then Halsey, the big thing here is where Halsey kind of owns up and admits to it all. And that plays out with the aftermath of the consequences with her and how she kind of gets removed from the whole Spartan project. But, you know, she's still connected in another way. So, and you can find out, like, the daughter, Miranda Keyes, is now more involved now because now that Halsey is on the outs, that Keyes is more involved now. And then you get John interacting with a Covenant human that's named McKee. We find out her name finally. And she's of course she's working an angle because, you know, she's making it seem like she got escaped or cast out by the Covenant, and now she's like under prisoner for the UNSC, and she's telling John, like, it's all about the keystones, you got to get the keystones and all that. So I don't know if it's kind of I got on here, the episode closed with a massive contact with John and artifact again, but it leads to flashbacks with this new, you know, the McKee, the Covenant girl there, the human having a seizure, and those two kind of setting up the next episode there. So that's what I got for notes for this episode. I don't know if that's ringing a bell.
Yeah, no, I think I was thinking of the episode prior to this one, because that was the one prior to this one. That's where they had the big battle, right?
Yep, yeah, the super big battle.
Yeah, because these come out, I think, on Thursdays. Mm-hmm. So that's why I always get mixed up, because we do this show on Wednesday. So
yeah, this is a little bit of a lapse between recording and seeing it. Yeah, but yeah, this seemed like a little bit of a come down from the last episode. The last episode, we had the big battles, and now they got to set up the story.
We've already established that's what they're doing through this entire show. It's one good one, and then one slow one, and then one good one, and then one slow one.
Yeah. We got all the big action ones in the previous episode. Now they give us an episode to breathe and set up the story, presumably for a big battle in episode 9. I'm guessing they're building up a story for this and next week here. So. But yeah, it was an okay episode, but yeah, kind of a, I could say it's probably a filler episode. You could probably get your just desserts on this week just by looking up just like a little recap. You probably don't need to watch the whole episode, but I'm enjoying the show still. So
it's still great. The acting and everything it's fantastic. I'm a huge fan of this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, same here. Just a couple episodes left, so I can't wait to see how it wraps
up. Even my daughter got into this.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
I don't know if she should be watching it. She's only 8, but...
Get her the action figures! If they got action figures, that means it's okay for kids, right? No. Yeah.
That's a video game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure she's watching worse stuff on YouTube.
Yes. All right, well, we'll give a shout-out here, take a quick break for words from our last sponsor for today at CNH Insurance of East Grand Forks, where they began with the goal of building an agency with the highest of principles, personalized attention, and service. This concept remains to be their priority today. They strive to give everyone who walks through their doors special attention and the best customer service possible. Their agents have over 50 years of combined insurance and experience, and they are licensed in Minnesota, North Dakota, and Arizona. So for all your insurance needs, contact Justin, Jody, or Tammy at 218-773-0287, or stop by their location at 1427 Central Avenue Northwest in East Grand Forks. That's CNH Insurance of East Grand Forks. We here at GFBS insure through CNH, and so should you. Yes.
For that ad, I have like all these ads just memorized.
So that missed call ad was the River Cinema.
Oh no.
Seriously? Yeah.
Stay tuned, folks. We may have some special stuff coming up this weekend here. Just keep plugged into GFBS on social media stuff for maybe some awesome weekend coverage of the new Doctor Strange movie. Got another TV show to hit up with that we're both big fans of, Winning Time. The latest episode hit a few weeks ago here, and now, Paul, it's the...
No, it hit last night.
Yeah, Sunday nights usually what I see is for when the new Winning Time usually hits, Sundays.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
But yeah, now the playoffs are here in Winning Time for the first season with the coaching staff here. So they're building up to the playoffs. They wrap up the regular season in this episode, and they're in the opening rounds of the playoffs, working their way through the playoffs in this episode pretty much to the finals. And so, yeah, so how did you like the build up to the playoffs here, Paul?
I didn't like the build up to the playoffs just because it focused more on the battle between who's going to be the coach.
Yeah, that was the main... Yeah, for like the first half of the episode, it's coming down to decision time for Dr. Buss, John C. Reilly's character, where he has to make the tough decision to go where McKinnon says he's ready to get back from the hospital, he got cleared, or to stick with Westhead and Pat Riley to coach the team. So they kind of bounce a lot back and forth questioning everybody.
Yeah, and then, you know, they spent a lot of time on, was it Haywood?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't, if it's true, I, you know, I don't know, but, you know, it talks about him just being pretty much addicted to
Some form of substance issues.
Yeah, well, I'm pretty sure it's like meth or heroin. I suppose it would be heroin back then.
Yeah, I know in the late 70s, probably even the early 80s, the NBA had tons of just bad drug substance issues. Like, players were literally passing out on the court.
No.
Yeah, it was bad. So I have no idea if this was dramatized a bit or if Spencer Haywood did have some drug issues or if they just, you know, they just kind of just... I hope they didn't exaggerate it for the sake, because that's a serious thing to really just say, oh, let's go all out with this, because they kind of get into some dark stuff in here with Haywood battling. Like, I kind of understand what you think of this. It kind of leads up to a really big scene towards the end of the episode where, you know, he kind of has a scene early on where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar is like, hey, man, don't mess up. Mm-hmm. We mess up one more time, this is on you.
And they've been putting a lot more of Jabbar in the last couple of episodes. He's had quite a few lines. So
yeah, I'm glad to finally see him have a bit more of a presence on the show. I know, like, you know, they're advertising a lot for this, mostly being, you know, the Magic Johnson led vehicle. Of course, you know, Magic Johnson's a huge star, but, you know, so is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and he was a very minor character in like the first half of the season. So I'm really glad to see this episode. He has a few big scenes. And how did you like that big heart to heart where he, you know, pretty much delivers the news to Haywood that, hey man, you're off the team, and, you know, Haywood has a big heart to heart talk about, you know, how you know, he just had his dark past. A very, very emotional scene.
Yeah, it's good show.
Yeah, and then I really liked how this episode closed out here too, where Kareem catches Magic Johnson in the arena doing some practice, late night practice, and he's trying to practice Kareem's trademark skyhook move.
Yep.
This episode closes with Kareem teaching him the skyhook, and it just had me just super jonesing for this final episode.
Oh, so the next
one. Oh, wait. I think there's two more. I'm sorry. Two more.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. No, the only thing I don't like about the show is how they keep cutting it to make it look like a 70s type of film.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they're trying to do it for some type of effect, but I don't know. I just think it looks kind of dumb.
I think I'm kind of leaning in that direction, too. I think at this point, at first, it seemed kind of cool, but now it seems like, you know, they either got to stick with it all the way or film it with modern technology, because it's jumping so much back and forth that it could be a little jarring.
Yeah, they're trying to do the old 70s film, you know, where you get the burn marks and stuff in it. I don't know. Yeah. It's just kind of silly.
Yeah. Actually, I take that back. I thought this was the 8th episode. This is the 9th episode. It's a 10-episode season. So, yeah, next week is the last episode of this season. And they did get renewed for a season 2. But, yeah, so see if, you know, they make the finals. So you could either look at an almanac and spoil it for yourself or tune in next week to see if the Lakers win the finals. So,
you're right over there?
I'm just laughing at something.
What's
just laughing at something, you'll see.
Uh-oh, all right. So you got a fun quick take in store for us here.
Yeah, but not, we can get going with our...
All right, we're almost there, but actually, we're this is where we throw it to the audience where for our WTF Are You Watching segment. We didn't get any this week, but we definitely want to hear from you here. So anyone watching live or just listening to this on the archive here, if you want to go to gfbestsource.com and click on the Contact Us link on the top of the webpage, or just send us an email, local@gfbestsource.com. Send us a quick under 100-word response to what you've been watching lately, and, you know, we'll definitely read and react to it on the show here. So, yeah, as you can see in the background here, give it your thumbs up, thumbs down here, and, yeah, we want to hear from what you guys have been saying. Clue us into shows we may not be covering that we should be watching. So, yeah, local@gfbestsource.com or the Contact Us link on gfbestsource.com. So, quick takes. Katie, you got something in store for us. I can see it. What do you got for us for your quick take?
So, C-Boys, as usual.
Why'd you turn the camera on?
You'll see. So, the video that I watched on this week, it's just the picture. I'm just laughing at this picture. It's so funny.
Uh-oh.
So, what they did is that they actually cut a car in half, and they drove it. And I don't know how to explain it without just showing the viewers. So,
I guess, yeah. Oh, uh-oh.
Oh, no. Is that not going to work?
No. Green screen's being... Wait. There we go. So what? They actually were able to drive that vehicle sawn in half.
Yeah.
Even with the back half dragging.
Yep.
Oh,
my. They're not the first ones to do that.
They are?
You've seen this done before, Paul?
That's so funny. Seriously?
I guess
that's what I was dabbing about because it's so stupid.
I've heard of vehicles like doing special for movies, filming special shots with special vehicle sound in half. Like
seriously,
and you know, Fast Five. There's a ridiculous, you know, where they're driving the safe all around Brazil there in the end. The big that in order to get the shots with that, because of course that there's no way this should be possible mode. They sawed off a vehicle and like the front third of a vehicle, fit it inside the big safe, and they're driving the safe, and that's how they pulled it off in the movie. So that's how I've heard of it being done before. But being done like that, where they actually got the vehicle in the open, that's
yeah.
I don't know. Paul, you said you've seen this then too, other places
I'm sure I have. I don't know.
It was just dorky, and they drove it on their like dirt track or whatever. But besides, yeah, that's what I was laughing about because it's so funny. But well, I think it is. And other than Sea Boys, lots of tennis as usual, and big rivalry tomorrow.
Best of luck. Big local rivalry. Going to crush it, right?
Oh, yeah. Central, definitely.
Heck, yeah. Best of luck. We'll give you the applause. Best of luck. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Paul, quick takes for the week.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, catching up on Outer Range. Still no idea what the hell is going on.
I watched like the first two episodes and I couldn't do it.
Well, what didn't do it for you?
Well, it was confusing. Like I don't even know the premise. They were like on an island. The last episode I watched, did you watch season one? Or have you seen, what have you?
No, they haven't even finished the first season.
Oh, they haven't? Oh, well, I only watched the first two episodes and that's it.
Oh, you sure it was Outer Range because there's no islands?
Really?
Yeah.
Well,
they're on a farm.
Shoot.
They're on a cattle farm.
Because it's on Paramount Plus, right?
Yeah. Outer Range? I'm thinking of something else. I take that back.
The Island?
Never mind.
What did you watch?
What show was it?
No, now I have to remember what it's called. It's a Netflix series. I'll think of it. I'll let you know when I come back to it.
Yeah. The one thing I do think is kind of neat, though, it seems like they keep releasing it in episodes of, like, two episodes at a time.
Oh, for Outer Range, like two episode drops?
Yeah. So that's kind of neat. And yeah, I mean, I'm still interested to figure out what's going to take place here, but...
I thought of it. So you said Outer Range. I was thinking of Outer Banks.
Outer Banks, okay.
That's what I was thinking of.
All right. So we'll wrap up with Paul, then we'll get your thoughts on that show here. So, Paul, Outer Range.
No thought. She only watched one episode, and she's stopped watching it.
I thought it was Outer Banks. She said Outer Range, so I got no thoughts on that.
It's just
I only watched it because of the Hawkeye. That's it.
Oh, Jeremy Renner's in it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait. I don't know.
Dale, you like Jeremy Renner?
Jeremy Renner! Everyone's favorite Hawkeye.
Wait, who is he?
You said Hawkeye.
Hawkeye.
Oh, you said... Oh, I thought you said...
you said Hawkeye?
Yeah, I thought...
You said hot guy.
No! Oh, gosh. I'm giving myself all the fail.
So I was like... It's like, yeah, there's a hot guy in it. And you're just like instantly like, Jeremy Renner.
Oh, gosh. I literally thought you said Hawkeye. Yeah,
he's the guy from my Farley.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh,
I take it all back.
That's fantastic.
Too much miscommunication there.
Yes. I'm just giving myself all the dumb sound effects for that one.
But yeah, anyway, so Outer Range. Good to see if that goes anywhere. And my other quick take is I swear to God, if you talk about Picard again, I'm going to kill the soundboard.
Oh, no. You don't want to hear it. Well, did you see it? Or?
No, I just don't care. Nobody cares about Picard. It sucks. It sucked three episodes ago.
Yes. It is definitely on the downswing. Not digging it. One more episode left.
Well,
okay. Well, if you only got one more episode.
I'll touch on it last week with the wrap up. If there's one episode left. So I'll wrap it up last week. I'll save the discussion this week other than saying I'm looking forward to it being wrapped up. So.
Okay.
But yeah, other than that, Moon Knight episode 5, and that's not as bad. It's actually starting to get better there with some interesting flashbacks and origin stories and split personality hijinks and this episode actually had a talking hippo named Tarouette. And I guess I looked up the it's actually a big character in the comic. A talking hippo.
How do you make a hippo?
Yeah, the CG. Expensive CG that Disney can afford. But I'm like, this seems really silly. And they're on a time-traveling sand boat. But
I just got to ask, was he hungry?
No. The hippo was not hungry. At least not this episode. Maybe next week. Maybe next week. But it actually...
So many levels.
But yeah, it is actually starting to show some promise. They may be able to turn it around. But I'm not getting my hopes up too much. So we'll see how it goes next week. So unless you guys got anything else here, we'll wrap this up.
Oh, hippos are cool.
Hippos are cool.
Yeah, they're terrifying.
Ugly.
Kay's a fan of hippos. Hungry, Hungry Hippos, a board game?
Oh, well, I guess. But I think they're ugly in general.
Do you know how vicious hippos are? They'll literally, like, bite canoes in half and try to eat people.
Bears probably do the same thing.
I've never seen a bear bite a canoe in half.
Okay. Ooh, we have an audience.
Hey, there's a bear over there in the back. No, that's...
Kid has a squeak toy stuck in its throat.
Oh, no. Oh, man.
Oh,
yeah, gosh, we got our own wild wilderness going on in the background here. But with that, we will wrap things up for the week. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today's episode of Big Screens and TV Streams. If you want to get even more movie coverage on GFBS, make sure to tune in this Friday at 9. Got an awesome episode of Icky Ichabod's Weird Cinema, where Ichabod and Paul will be reviewing the 1984 classic, one of Paul's favorites, the Drew Barrymore, the Firestarter.
Yeah, and that's another one in the theaters that I'm going to have to go check out.
Yep, that's they got
a lot of theater action coming up here in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be hitting theaters here with a remake in a couple of weeks here. So, yeah, you can check that out this Friday at 9. We will like to give a shout out once again to today's sponsors at The Poorhouse, O for Heaven's Cakes, and CNH Insurance. We welcome you to join us live for all future episodes every Wednesday at 2 p.m. on GFBestSource.com and find our past episodes by subscribing to GFBS everywhere you find podcasts. So many thanks to Firestarter fan and Picard, not so much of a fan, Paul. Many thanks to Slammin' producer Katie.
That means dub. Taking the W.
You'll be getting the dub
this week.
The
double
L.
That's
a W. That's
two L's.
Get your glasses on. No, that's two L's. That's a W.
That's two L's.
Many thanks to everyone tuning in and having us as part of your day.
Got a post.
We will see you all next week. Goodbye.